Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, hey.
Ellie my head, so. Me had to come back again with the new style. Le, 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 le.
Hey.
Iyawo mi.
Every time I see you, I de fall in love.
Iyawo mi.
Every time I see you, I de fall in love.
Idumi.
Eh, eh.
Like say I don't de go low.
Idumi.
Eh, eh. Like say I don't de go low.
Man, they give you the reason. Your love, they give me the season. This time, na so so wahala. Baby girl, they give me the fever.
Baby girl, can I have your number so that we can to the club together? Make her feel you.
Make you feel me.
Wine, dance, dance. At the club, right, right. Baby girl, can I have your number? Come on, show kaka for me.
Iyawo mi.
Every time I see you, I fall in love.
You see, Iyawo mi.
Every time I see you, I fall in love.
Idumi.
Eh, eh.
Like say I don't de kolo.
Idumi.
Eh, eh. Like say I don't de kolo.
Majaya. I'm a show up by day, that your dad look who. I'm a low fine, I'm a low nine. I'm an ille ayemi, titi wani mo fe ma jiri. Me a go spend my money, macha ye neti. Lelelelelelelele, I'm a o dem a ba mi tele.
Titi Iyawo mi.
Every time I see you, I de fall in love.
Titi Iyawo mi.
Every time I see you, I de fall in love.
Idumi.
Eh, eh.
Like say I don't de kolo.
Idumi.
Eh, eh. Like say I don't de kolo.
Faka.
Mama, na one by one we dey go. Mama, na me and you na today.
Mama, jaja yo la baka de jaja yo mama de ma de ba dele. Eli man don't come again now. Eli man don't come again now. Now we see na de fine baba don't do it for me.
Iyawo mi.
Every time I see you, I de fall in love.
Iyawo mi.
Every time I see you, I de fall in love.
Idumi. Eh, eh. Like say I don't de kolo.
Idumi.
Eh, eh. Like say I don't de kolo.
Share with you,
and Joseph might have made a major difference. Might have been a major holiday, but also a major voodoo holiday. And the knowledge, of course, of that has been sort of mysterious and kept on the down low, as they say nowadays, but kept primarily private. A great deal of Indian culture practice, and there are particular marks in time, dates of the year, events that they make their presence in the community and is aware. Now, Mississippi tend to be family oriented, whichever tribe you're masking with, you tend to follow the activity. It's just as we do in Booty House, in an E-Lane, in E-5, in a community, you follow your doctor, you follow your Aruba instructions. There's a common knowledge that is pervasive throughout the culture, the tradition, the religion, the practice, etc., the protocols. But these are very individualistic mysteries that are family-related. I like to say family, tribe, gang, house, you know, family-related. Within your family, you have information that your family knows. Your family knows where your insurance policy is. Your family knows where your cash is. Your family knows where you keep your private stuff. So it is the same within these traditions. And sometimes that gets lost, that gets confused, at the least. Sometimes it's outright used to bastardize tradition and to further inflame people's ignorance about the tradition. And that's a great segue into my annual The White Man Created Pan speech. For the last 5 years I've been on Walk Talk Radio, and then even before that on the internet, at least once a year I have called to have to address this. This time most death is circulating Facebook in a beautiful Ghanaian Kente cloth, royal Kente cloth, wrap. And all the psychos, the pseudo-conscious, of course, are coming out with all of their pseudo-philosophies about feminism and homosexuality. And you all are really obsessed with homosexuals, by my dad. I have six brothers, and I can recall one conversation we had 30 years ago about homosexuals. So you all's obsession with homosexuals is telling, you know, all this breakdown in the family and men not being absent and not being in the home, and now you gearing up with your boy in real life and online, and you're obsessed with homosexuality, obsessed with it. I don't understand, but I don't find it all that intriguing, personally. It's just life, but you guys are obsessed with it. And my sisters, my blood sisters, as well as my spiritual sisters, I'm telling you, that's in book 101. Watch your man, who's obsessed with homosexuals. Watch your man. Divine Prince Coach. So now we're talking about wraps and garments. I've even seen some concrete questions. Well, you know, concrete questions if you don't know your history. What did they wear in war? What do we wear in war? What does Shaka Zulu wear? There's your homework. Google Shaka Zulu, who many of you accept as a true African warrior, and find out what he wore. And then come back to me on that topic. Moving right along, we are moving forward in Compton Square with our community-based outreach and educational component to Living Classroom. Living Classroom is a program that we've gotten together with Common Square and the Common Square Advisory Committee that reaches out to our youth, to schools, to educational centers, community centers, to groups, to organizations, and even to small groups of individuals that allow you to come out for a day field trip, if you will, in Congress Square with us. And we can plan and organize any day of the week that is convenient for you. And we take a tour of Strong Park and the beautiful sculpture garden there, which shares the history of New Orleans jazz, New Orleans culture and art, if you will. And then we culminate that experience with the drumming, dancing, ceremonial presence that we do in Congo Square every Sunday at 2 o'clock. But we now make that an additional part of the classroom. We wrap our children in fabrics and give them an opportunity to touch dum-dums and djembes and bells and claves and other various instruments that they might not have access to on a regular daily basis in school as well as in their lives. We also try and bring relevance to history, to the material, in a way that they can relate them to who they are and why that's important to them today. I think sometimes in our debates of history and documents and text, we lose sight of its relevance to us right now. And so it makes it easier for the less studied person to come to some conclusion that they know, have seen, have been exposed to all that there is, and they're now qualified to make some broad, sweeping, anti religion, anti whatever statement, and feel secure in standing on that. That's the hardest part of that kind of ignorance. Because once you put up that wall around you that says, okay, I'm ignorant, don't try and tell me anything, that's pretty much becomes a reality. So then there is no access to getting through to you until you are ready then to embrace knowledge. And I almost said truth, but I want to say knowledge, because truth is played around with. Truth is relative. And it is easier to comprehend a truth when you have the knowledge about what it is that you're analyzing, that you're looking at. And too often in our culture, and it is a Western thing, it's something that we have been taught through this Western culture, it's not indicative of indigenous thought process. Let's be clear about that. Even many of our so-called revolutionary tyrants did not come out of indigenous culture. Indigenous culture did not have a need for that. So we have to be clear about knowledge before we can then start analyze the truth, my truth, your truth, universal truth. You got to know what you're looking at. We can talk math, but if you don't understand arithmetic, we have no real conversation. And we now live in a society of overwhelming information. Overwhelming information. Information feeds knowledge, feeds wisdom, feeds awareness. But it is not the finality of truth. Particularly in a free-range society like the Internet, anyone can get on the Internet and say whatever. And it's a convenient place for people who are not willing to do any study, but who often follow opinions to sort of group together. And it gives the illusion of some kind of cohesion to their truth. And the truth is, you're just a bunch of angry, mad, often uneducated people. And you're frustrated now about what to do about that. I get that. I was there. Hopefully, we all are there at one point in our lives so that we do move into conscious retention of information and wisdom. Honestly. You know, not because we look for a shortcut. And many of us are just looking for the shortcut to being rich, to not having bills, to being able to buy what you want, eat what you want, go where you want, drive what you want. Coming into this, just for spiritual reasons, get below the list for me. I don't care what your religion is. Trying to fulfill the will of God is not a high priority on the list of a great number of Christians. Trying to do what Allah requires, it's not high on priority for many Muslims. Your politics are outweigh that priority by a long way. So let's be clear about why we do. And then it becomes evident in the energy that we project when we talk about it, when we post about it, in your questions. Sometimes I don't respond because I hear your real question. What you type on the paper is irrelevant. I hear your real question. And sometimes we need to just step back and do a little homework. Sometimes we ask questions that can easily be studied, easily be researched, easily be found in a 2-minute Google search. But we'd rather ask a condescending question with a hidden agenda, with an aggressive tone, with some pop culture rhyme and rhythm over it, and pretend it's a consciousness question. And it's an ego question. And that's why I'm shortening the show. I'm really doing the power lunch. 30 minutes, that's it. Unless I have a special guest, unless I have callers on the line who have questions they want to ask, who want me to, you know, to go into detail about something. Unless we have a special event which requires, you know, me sharing that, I'm moving away from the trend. And the trend, some of you, I got a call on line right now, 773, you've heard me say this before. Some of us are here for that whole Jerry Springer thing, and I've never been that. Come on now, I'm going into my 6th year. I've never been that. If you're waiting around for me to be that, it's not going to happen. I'm really here to share with people, like-minded people, spiritual people. Don't even have to be my religion specifically, but who want to truly advance an understanding and then apply that understanding into real-world demonstration. Because at the end of the day, that's really all that matters. And within that is the fulfillment of many of these other things, specifically things that many are looking for. Your financial security, your economy, your family status, all that can be addressed through pure and authentic spirituality. But you've got to be pure and authentic. And you've got to understand there's a priority of order to things. I can give you $1 million, but if you don't understand budgeting, if you don't know how to apply that, if you don't know how to spend that, if you don't know what's a value to you and what's really not a value to you to put that money into, then you're just as good as broke. And we have documented proof of that. There are many TV shows, many documented cases of people all over the country that have won large sums of money who are homeless today. We know some entertainers who had access to major resources and revenue, but they did not take the time to apply it to the facts, to the foundation, to arithmetic, to math, to budgeting, to finance, to economy and ecology and how to apply those things so that they grow, so that they laugh, so that you're not the one-hit wonder, so that we don't, you know, talk about you is when you bring like faith from the past. You know, there are many people who we can point to right now who are not only not present, but no longer relevant. And many of the newer generations who come up, you know, you find out about Shahrazad Ali. As one quick example. Yeah, I went there. When the last time you heard her, seen her anywhere, read anything from her that had any real relevance in the community since Jerry Springer's early years? You don't. And we made a big fuss about her. People were coming to blows over Shahrazad Ali. Families were breaking up over Shahrazad Ali. That was the Bible. You were conscious or not based on your response to that book. And some of you don't even know who or what I'm talking about right now. And some of you only focus on what I'm talking about. But my point is, we are moving away from the front, the storefront, the faith. We're moving away from the temple, as quiet as it's kept. Because then you got internet, you don't need to go to temple. You don't need to go to church every Sunday. You can, and you do, and people will. People will always come here and feed Buddha shrines. We will always have ceremony in Congo Square. But if shift in priority is changing because of technology, because of knowledge, and what is available to the masses today. And that changes every generation. That changes every time, every season, every decade, every community. That's in constant evolution. So we don't really have a lot of time to get stuck on one thing or the other, to get stuck on part trying to figure out, trying to research, trying to study. I'm on my study, my journey of study right now. Okay, 18, 21, 25, 32, 35, 40, 45, 50, 55, 60. When are we going to put something in action? And many of you are scared. For dramatic effect, I'm going to use a stronger word, pumped. Into inaction, inactivity. And a great motivator and promoter of that fear is the conscious community. Y'all are too worried about what so-and-so going to say, brother prophet so-and-so going to say, sister all-powerful God Almighty going to say, how you going to look. And at the end of the day, we can see what's happening and what's not happening, follow the money. We can see what the conscious community is doing or not doing, follow the money. Drive through the hood. What do you see? Count the cars. Look at the homes. Who's renting? Who's not? How many stores do we have to go to and spend our money at? And it's real interesting that those of us who do move into positions to do that and to provide those services and to be present to fulfill some of these philosophies of religion, spirituality, consciousness, revolution, the list goes on. Then we don't support them. Or now they're on the outside looking in because they're no longer a crab in a barrel. They're no longer a talking head on Facebook, cussing and acting crazy and entertaining you. Because once you start doing the work, you don't have time for that. I ain't got all day to combat and go post for post and did you see, you know, Queen Tony called me all the time. Did you see? No, beloved, I didn't. My sister, my family, my email member, my house member, people in Congo Square, we're doing good just to acknowledge the work. Are you going to be in the living classroom tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock? Are you going to be at the Congo Square Jazz Fest next weekend? We ain't got time to be debating nonsense. And we've gotten to a place that we find the nonsense entertaining. It's not relevant. I'm coming from Chicago. It's not relevant. It's not crucial. It's entertaining. I wouldn't even say it's helpful to any degree other than to make other people mad who otherwise would not be mad. To make people shut down. My mama didn't shut down her Facebook page so many times I can't count now. Because she just gets tired of seeing and being bombarded with nonsense every day. I advise you often just to avoid the homepage. I don't go to the homepage on Facebook. I feel like if what you have to say is important to me and it's relevant to me, chances are I'm going to be there. Spirit's going to bring you there. I'm going to go to your page and want to find it. I don't need you to spam it to me. I don't need you to send it to me in a private message. And I don't scroll the Facebook homepage to see what relevant nonsense is being discussed today. So moving right along, 773 Chicago, your line is open.
Brother Divine, this is Brother Ezra Amos from Chicago. How you doing?
Always a blessing in yourself.
I'm doing good. Now, I'm struggling to hear you because it sounds kind of like muzzle, like when you go through a drive-thru. So it's very difficult to like pretty much understand, you know, what the dialogue is about.
Okay, I certainly appreciate you letting me know that, because I often don't have any way of knowing if I'm experiencing any kind of technical difficulty. I can't actually hear myself when I'm on there. So I appreciate that. Do I sound any clearer now?
A little bit better. It sounds like it's going in and out, but it sounds a little bit better. I have a couple of questions real quick, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Okay, now I talked to you, several times, and I talked to you months back, and I was telling you about the crisis here in Chicago with any spiritual leaders or spiritual teachers. But I was actually able to come across a chief from Sierra Leone, and I had a reading done. And the reading was kind of like, it was very, how can I say, it was shocking to me and my wife, because my wife and I, we both had the reading done together.
Mm-hmm.
Now here's what happened. My wife and I, for so long, for maybe like 3, 4, 5 years now, people have always told my wife and I that we look so much alike. And my youngest son, by my wife, looks like both my father and my wife's father.
Okay.
So we were always struggling with that. Like, why does he look like both his grandparents? And why does my father look like my wife's father? And so through the week, reading through the priest, come to find out that my wife and I are genetically, biologically related.
That's not unusual. We found that out in my family. And it came much easier for us. It was just in the name. As we begin to travel back the journey of Harris, we found that my father's Harris and my mother's Harris, because my mother's maiden name was Harris, intersected. So when you consider that we were taken in concentration, because we look at Africa and slavery and Middle Passage as sort of being really chaotic and all over the place and criminals, you know, evading government, the Portuguese and Spain, to get their piece of the pie. And yes, that happened. But a great deal of the people that were taken were being taken in concentrations from very specifically designated locations.
Where
that is
true.
Where they didn't go in and get out, where they knew certain security measures were already in place. They weren't just venturing off into the jungle, you know, finding new you know, ethnic groups to invade to avoid other Europeans. So they typically follow the same tracks, the same pathway. And then we would be brought here to Baltimore, to Annapolis, to New Orleans, to the Carolinas, and be dropped off in groups. And now then we would be separated out to plantations. But again, let's remember now, and I'm sure you understand this, we often we overdo the plantation thing. Everybody wasn't rich. Everyone did not have a plantation. It wasn't like every white house on the block had slaves.
That's
true. You had to have status. You had to have some money. You had to be able to afford that. So again, we were still being put together in groups, in concentrated groups all over the place, but in groups. And if you were a problem or they wanted to sell you off or their finances went south, you know, they might have sold to a relative or to someone that they knew or would have had some kind of business link to prior. So it's not unusual. I think as we now gain access to, I'm going to give them a free commercial, Ancestry.com and all the other new DNA ways of finding out where we're from, that's going to be more and more common, that we're going to have those crossroads meet somewhere.
Right. Now, she's from, you know, and I try to explain to my wife that though her ancestors, because she's from the Caribbean, she's from Guyana, South America, but her father people are from Barbados, originally from Barbados. They were taken from Barbados and shipped to other parts of the island. And if you and those who researched the transatlantic slave trade, Barbados was the main British sugar plantation in the Western Hemisphere.
That's
and
good.
So a lot of Africans from Barbados were shipped here to the Americas.
That's
and so by her being from South America, Guyana, and my father being born in the South, deep South Mississippi, it was kind of hard for her to wrap her mind around that. But after I showed her and gave her the history on the transatlantic slave trade, it wasn't surprising to me. It wasn't shocking to me because I know how families were separated, divided, sold off, and what have you.
And, you know, so, you just brought up another point, too, I think is relevant. When you started talking about a specific commodity, sugar, because often it was a skill set that was also transferred with the family or the individual. So everybody in your family understood sugar, not just one or two people. Or everybody in your family understood whatever the skill of the parent was, the grandparent was, it was often taught to everybody else in that family. So even though you were being sent away, you were probably being sent away to do a similar job somewhere else. So again, that create another more hidden system of us coming together, reconnecting, disconnecting, reconnecting again in other locations. And ultimately, once that information begins to be lost over time, naturally, we're going to find more and more of us have crossroads in our families and amongst our friends and neighbors of relation.
Yes. Hey, I have one more statement. I have one more statement. I got a question for you, Brother Prince. And the statement is that for those of us who have studied the transatlantic slave trade, and I've been doing this for over 5 years now, and I don't hear a lot of people really touching on this subject here. We know that the Portuguese were the first Europeans to come on the west coast of Africa. And through my research, and countless other researchers have come to the realization that for the first 300 years of this transatlantic slave trade, the Portuguese were the leaders in capturing Africans and selling them to the throughout the New World. And the Portuguese got the bulk of those African ancestors, over 90% of them for the first 300 years, came from the Angola, Congo regions of West Central Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, when I did just trace my genealogy, my great great grandparents back to Virginia, and using their last name, and come to find out that my great-great-grandmother's parents were actually from those groups of people who came from the Angola-Congo region. But because we have so many other African ethnicities in us, you know, but I would think that the bulk of the DNA or genealogy would be from that region, what we call West Central and Central Africa.
I could possibly agree with that. Keep in mind the Gullah Geechee Nation now. Many of those families, if not wholly, partly, would have been absorbed into Gullah Geechee Nation culture. So we often would have lost some connection to original origin and may have, again, been concentrated into certain locations and then dominant features, dominant cultural significances would have overpowered smaller ones.
Right, true.
Yeah, language or even religion and spirit. We often give so much more energy to Yoruba deities because that the names endure in a much stronger way than many of the deities of other ethnicities. But that does not mean that those spirits were not present. You understand what I'm saying? So yeah, I can agree with what you're saying. I would say that. I think too, when we look at the Portuguese, another complication, and I know this is not popular, what I'm about to say, is the Moors and their infiltration and dominance at one point in the world in that region. So it's not hard for me, coming from Louisiana, to understand racial mix, shading, ethnicity. We have white people in New Orleans that are black. We have black people looking in New Orleans who are white. And I can see that happening in Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
And then those genes, those genetics, even if they were not obvious on the surface, becoming a part of the mix. So, I can hear what you're saying, and I can agree. I would add
okay.
to point, but I can agree to that.
Okay, now here's my question. Now, through this reading, I was told that two things. Ogun rules over my head. You know, I don't too much understand what that means. So if you could explain it to me, what it means that Ogun rules over my head. And also, I was told that I have an affinity with water.
Wow, because right off the top, that's a contradiction. Because typically Ogun implements and practitioners don't mix with water because of the element of iron.
The iron, right. That's what, right.
Now,
so yeah,
let me address the Ogun first. I'm not going to say that what this practitioner said is true or not true. What I am going to say is it is not an easy process to determine your head. And, of course, that is done differently on the path you're initiating into, the house you're initiating into, and it's usually something that's done over a course of hours, if not days, and it's done through divination. Now some people, and I'm not saying this is you, but some people sort of look at it like horoscopes, where you have a certain affinity with Virgo, you have a certain affinity with Libra, and it doesn't work that way. In these paths. It's not about who you resemble or who you have an affinity with, who you feel comfortable with. You know, you've heard me call that the Orisha romance. You know, most women want to be Osho. Most men want to be Shango. And they have limited, if no, real understanding about how that process happens. So I'm not making any kind of comment about whether he did it right or wrong. I'm not saying that. I'm just explaining it for your understanding and those listening. But it's typically done in a ceremony. There's usually more than one practitioner there. Sometimes Babalawo, sometimes other readers. The reading is verified usually by asking more questions which makes the reading that much longer. It's often done with shells. I want to say sometimes it's done with Ikin and Ifa, but I don't want to confuse what we're talking about. But it's often done with shells. And then you have to have that deity placed on your head. So it's not enough for you to call me and I do a reading. I say, oh, yeah, brother, yeah, you're Oya. And then you just go off in life, you know, oh, I'm Oya, and now I'm going to do her color. I'm going to do her fruits. You know, it doesn't work like that. So once he does the reading, you should then have ceremony done, usually by that reader's higher-ups, that reader's babalawo, that reader's godparents, and other elders. The two are usually not done by the same person. I'm sure you've already figured out the obvious reason why, because you can be tricked. So one person does the divination and another does the actual putting that deity on your head. And it's usually a group of people. And you, and I'm being careful about my wording because there's people listening to me right now that's worried I'm about to give away secrets, and I'm not. But you sit somewhere on certain items in a certain type of structure for a certain length of time, usually days, and you are exhausted. I will say that at the end of the process. And then you are washed and you come out, and depending on where you are and how it's done, I'll use Wida Benin as an example. The deity is put on your head. There's a cloth. There's a santahin. There's a deeply embroidered, beaded, sewn garment, throw, royal throw, if you will, that's usually either folded up and put on your head, and then this pot is put on your head, and then the deity is put in the pot, and then another calabash or pot is put on top of that, and then it's either completely covered with the santahin, or it's put on top of the santahin, and you carry that on your head. More often than not, from some sacred location to some other ceremonial location. And then you celebrate the birth of this deity. And birth, from a symbolic perspective, involves blood, herbs, water, several hands. So it's a process. It's a process. Now, some people, for timing or convenience, will have a reading done. And then later on, they'll go back. Maybe they have to save up some money. Maybe they have to arrange travel to a certain location, you know, gathering of all the other people that are going to participate in that ceremony. And then that's done maybe a year later or two later. But it's not as simple as you know, finding your horoscope. And the second question was about water. Now, quite often, and I'm going to use symbolic words here, quite often you're going to have parents. You're not going to have just one spirit. You might have a male spirit, a female spirit. You may have more, you know, two or three of the same female or male, but you're going to have more than one thing happen. And those things usually operate in concert. So I'm a little bit, you know, I'm not saying he's wrong, but I'm a little bit concerned about what he means and what exactly, what type of reading you really had done. There are certain
because the reading. Yeah, I haven't had the reading you're talking about.
Give me just one more minute. There are certain words that I'm not going to say for obvious reasons that are used that tell me what kind of reading you have. You don't have an Orisha reading, a Lawa reading. It has a name to it. So that, for me as a practitioner, that would make me tell you to go back and find out what type of divination this was. And was this really the divination that secures your head, or was this like a totem? Because you can receive Arula, as sort of like an amulet, a talisman, if you will. And you'll receive those certain implements for a ruler, and you'll create a little altar, but it don't mean you're a Babalawo. And it don't mean you have a ruler on your head. So I would go back and ask what kind of divination that really was. And if it was about your head, what's the problem?
No, it wasn't that. It was like a general basic reading, because what my wife and I, we wanted to know, like, certain things, like, you know, what was our destiny, you know, so it wasn't that in depth as you explained it. I don't know if there's a such word for a general basic reading.
Yeah, there is, and those could have been, but again, it goes back to what you and your wife's questioning was, and what he told you were getting. Now, if he's saying, okay, Ogu is assisting you right now in your endeavors, that's legitimate, but that doesn't mean Ogu's on your head. You see what I mean? Because if
yes,
Ogu's
I understand.
On your head, there are certain protocols, and there's certain taboos. There will be a certain diet you would have to avoid. Certain,
right, like you did that.
Certain situations you would not be allowed to go into based on your divination. And when
right.
you throw water into the mix, that gives me cause for a question. Because I'm
okay.
Right now, outside of Haiti, I cannot really draw an association with Ogu and water.
Okay.
Except
okay.
for maybe some certain path in Haiti.
Okay. Yeah, because I mean I do know a little bit. So when he did mention the water with you know Ogun, and you know it kind of like confused me as well because I know Ogun and I know you know being you know the deity or god of metal and also war if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And then he yeah now with the water I don't know. So I'm supposed to go back and have that the reading that you just explained. I'm supposed to go back and have that reading done. My wife and I. What you just mentioned, but I haven't done that yet.
Mm-hmm. And Ogu
so,
has
yeah,
strong
so.
Ties to technology. Ogu has
right.
strong ties to technology, and Ogu
right.
is often one of the banner deities. One of the there's a certain group of deities almost in all paths that you would see going in officially to become a member of that house. But they're not on your head. They're like guides, like spirit guides, like angels, like protectors.
Right.
And it's a completely different process than having it on your head. So yeah, I would
okay.
I would definitely, you know, I would request more information about that.
Okay, I will definitely. I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
And I appreciate you. You have to be one of my long term listeners, and I certainly appreciate you.
Oh, no problem. No problem. I appreciate you. I appreciate you and all that you're doing. Thanks.
All the best. So we actually did our show today to give you all an example of what I've been saying for the last few days. You know, if people are going to call, if people are going to participate, if you have questions, I'm here to do that. I really am. But I'm not going to entertain people. I'm not going to just, you know, come every day and give you some elaborate, entertaining story, and you can go back and say, well, I heard the prince today, and not begin to really move into a place of applying this information in some real time way to your life, the life of your family, your community, because ultimately it's not about us, just as individuals. Clearly, brother understands that. I understand that. Many of you understand that. It's much deeper than that. And it does affect us and our families and our children and our neighbors and our community and our jobs. And we represent what we say we stand on. So whatever your consciousness, your politics, your religion, your philosophy, just be authentic in your demonstration of that. Do the work associated with that. We earn that every day. I earn Voodoo Chief every day. I'm not Mark Moody Chief that I have to sit down and I have to do nothing else to earn that title. I'm Witch Doctor now. Young folk are hurting. But I have to earn Witch Doctor. Every day, every year. I have to earn that as a man. Every day, every year. If your physician gave you a prescription that nearly killed you, you would want him to be removed from that responsibility. You would want him to not be able to utilize that title and that legitimization. And our spirit journey is no less than that. I don't care what you call yourself, how you identify, you walk that, you live that, you demonstrate that every moment of every day. You're a revolutionary, be a revolutionary. But that requires doing something other than talking about revolution. It requires doing something, putting something into motion, something into action, something into play. So until tomorrow at noon, U.S. Central Standard Time, I offer you all divine peace, joy, and prosperity. I'm truly honored and grateful for every moment, every day that I had an opportunity to bring forward New Orleans, Fufu, Obeya, Ifa, Lakomi, Akan, Sangoma, all of the rich diversity of spiritual paths and traditions within the Pan-African diaspora here on Blog Talk Radio. So until tomorrow, we bring that all this truth and being in place. That love me and comments.
Congo Square. The Omas Indians, prepared this place for us. Centuries before our arrival, a sacred spot where corn festivals were celebrated. The Omas Indians prepared this place for us. Centuries before our arrival. Congo Square, a sacred spot where corn festivals were celebrated. And as the colonizers came, our hosts, the Omas Indians, they pushed aside our hosts. The colonizers came and pushed aside our hosts and introduced us in chains. And by the late 1700s, we somehow, recognizing the sacredness of Les Places de Congo, we somehow, and the how of our somehow persuasive methodologies is not clear at this moment. The how is not clear. How our persuasive methodologies worked is not clear at this moment. But nevertheless, even as slaves, we crafted and created a space where we could be free to be we. And thusly we countered the sacrilegiousness of the French, giving great homage to our ancestors as well as giving praise and thanks to our red-blooded brothers and sisters. This is an oral libation toast to Congo Square, to Native Americans, to our ancestors who made a circle out of a square and gave us a way to stay ourselves, save ourselves from the transformatory ugliness of America, which refuses to recognize the spirituality of life. Which refuses to recognize the spirituality of life and celebrates death with crosses and crosses, double and triple crosses, the middle passage, the first cross, Christianity, the double cross, and capitalism, the ultimate triple coup de grace cross of our captivity. But the terror of crosses notwithstanding, we sang. We beat, we be, we was and is. Hail, Congo Square. Congo, Congo Square. Our African gods have not been obliterated. They have merely retreated inside the beat of us. Inside the beat of us, our African gods have not been obliterated. They have merely retreated, retreated inside the beat of us until we are ready to release them into a world that we recreate. A world heralded by the beat. Be, beat, being, beating, being of black heart drums. Heart, beat, heart, beat, heart, be at this place, be heart, beat, beat, we beating place in new world space. Beating, being in place in new world, preserving our ancient pace. Our dance is the God walk, our music the God talk. First thing we do, let's get together, circle ourselves into community. No beginning, no end, connected together and singing, ringing, singing in a ring. Second, let's be original, aboriginal. Be what we were before we became what we are. Be Bambula dance, be Banza music, and sing song words which have no English translation. Third, let us remember. Let us remember never to forget. Even when we can't remember the specifics, we must retain the essentials. Let us remember never to forget. Even when we can't remember the specifics, we must retain the essentials. The bounce, the blood flow, the feel, the spirit grow, energy must retain and pass on the essential usness that others want to dissipate with.
Hello.
Out of us.
Whoa.
But no matter, no matter how much of us they prohibit, no matter how much of us they prohibit, deep inside us is us. Deep inside us is us. Remains us inside and needs only the beat to set us free. The beat to free us. It is morning. A sun day. A feel. A feel. Without shade, but dark. Dark with the people black of us in various shades. Eclipsing the sun with our elegance. We are centuries later now, and still this sacred ground calls us to remember, to beat, to be. We are centuries later now, and still this sacred ground calls us to remember, to beat, to be. Beat Congo Square. Be Congo Square. Beat. Be. Beat. Be. Beat.
Beat. Beat. Beat. Beat. Beat. Beat.
Congo Square. B. Congo Square. B. 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 Remember. Remember.